Well, it's no show place, just an empty space. Not much to look at now. It's just a big old box made out of limestone blocks, but we could fix it up somehow. 'Cause it's built like a tank out of solid rock, and it ain't ever going away. But where did it come from? Why is it here? Gotta thank the WPA. Well, Harry loved his job in the city. They weren't rich, but they were doing fine. Until millions of guys like Harry felt the crash of 29. A loaf of bread only cost a dime, but no one had a dime to spare. So Harry signed up for a government job in the middle of nowhere. Well, it was brute force work hauling limestone blocks. They didn't need his college degree. He sweat all day in the burning sun for 10 lousy bucks a week. But he worked like the man that Harry was, and he slept like a rock when he laid down. 'Cause they weren't building no bank for the rich, just a swimming pool for the town. And still they stand them quarry stones, though the place stands empty today. Every one of them blocks is history, don't let them slip away. Because there's wisdom in the bones of the buildings those good folks built to last. How are we gonna save the future if we don't save the past? Well, for 8 years, 8 million hardworking folks traveled all over this land. They built every kind of thing you can imagine, monuments to the common man. They built schools and roads and swimming pools. They made sunshine out of rain. And our hearts still live in our own backyard if we don't let them slip away. Because still they stand them quarry stones, though the place is empty today. Every one of them blocks is history, don't let them slip away. You know there's wisdom in the bones of the buildings those good folks built to last. How are we gonna save the future if we can't save the past? Well, on the 4th of July, 1936, when the crowds walked into that box, that Harry and a bunch of roughnecks built out of sweat and limestone blocks. They all called it just a bathhouse, but it was way more than that inside. It was America at its best. It was hope and heart and pride. And still they stand those quarry stones, though the place stands empty today. Every one of them blocks is history, we can't let them fall away. Because there's wisdom in the bones of the buildings those good folks built to last. How are we gonna save the future if we can't save the past? Yeah, still they stand them quarry stones, though the place stands empty today. Every one of them blocks is history, we can't let them fall away. But there's wisdom in the bones of the buildings those good folks built to last. How are we gonna save the future if we can't save the past?
There you go, my friendly Deadline song about the bathhouse and Rock the Driftless.
That was a song based on a poem by Gigi Macassette. Thank you, Gigi. Performed for us by Kevin Mattson. Hey, good day to you, and welcome to a conversation about the proposed Viroqua Welcome Center. As most of you know, the old community pool bathhouse has stood empty for so many years. There have been lots of discussions about what comes next. So we have three guests with me today to talk about that. Cindy Hubbard is here, Aaron Aslan is here, and Karen Innes is here. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. Thanks for doing this. Okay, let's jump right into it. Would one of you please give us a history of the building? If I'm not mistaken, the bathhouse was a WPA project?
Yes, that's correct. I guess I'll take it since I've been involved with this the longest of the three of us. It was built in 1936 by the Works Progress Administration. And I learned this morning when I was doing some research that the Viroqua mayor at that time, Frank Chase, he was the one that promoted looking into these federal projects such as the WPA, the PWA, things set up in the New Deal by Franklin Roosevelt, President Roosevelt. It employed, the WPA, if, in case anybody knows, it employed about 8.5 million people in its eight-year existence. And in 1934, 11 million people were unemployed. Isn't that amazing?
The program employed 8.5 million?
8.5 million over an eight-year existence.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah, all over the United States. I mean, there's, they built all over, all sorts of buildings. This one was made from limestone, quarried in a quarry a few miles east of Viroqua. We think it's on the Mapledale Road quarry. And it was hand-cut. And I don't know how in the world you hand-cut limestone. But these guys did, and these were job seekers, mostly men not formally educated, that were hired to carry out these works so they could feed their families and themselves. The pool and bathhouse opened on July 4th, 1936. It's the last remaining WPA building in Vernon County, as far as we know. There's a common misconception that our post office is WPA. It was built in 1939 during the New Deal, but it was a New Deal agency called the Federal and Military Operations. And then the mural inside is another New Deal project called the Arts Project, 1942. So just to clear that up. So anyway, it was joined by many people, many families and visitors over the years. Did you want to tell any stories that Karen's newcomer to Viroqua? She's only been here 30 years.
Yes, well, 33.
Just a kid.
Actually, I just made it over the 33 mark.
Congratulations.
Well, I love that song because it told the story of things that I experienced when I lived away from this area. I was in California, where we had a little post office that was built in that era, and we had a wading pool in the big Amridge Park that had arches made out of stone in that park that really had the same feel. So when I came to Viroqua, one of the things I fell in love with was the quaintness of a lot of the original buildings, the post office that you could open the doors with the key like my grandpa and I used to do at his post office box in Fullerton. And the bathhouse is a place that I would take my nieces and nephews for their swimming lessons that first summer I moved here. It was wonderful to see everybody out on the lawn or the parents waiting for the kids and the kids shrieking in the distance. Right. But I also met a lot of folks who said, oh, yeah, I was a lifeguard there in high school. And I think they probably employed every teenager who ever wanted to sit in the sun and watch watch
right,
everybody
right.
play.
So
yeah, it had a lot of power for me personally when I moved to town to see that kind of gathering spot. And also the building itself was, I'm a sculptor, so I really love the structure.
Appreciate that, so. Yeah, I rode up my bike up there to swim as a kid. My sister and I did, so I have lots of memories of the swimming lessons and the smell of the bathhouse when you first went in, and they'd give you the metal basket to put your stuff in, and then you had a pin with a number on it that you'd pin to your swimming suit. And then later on, it ended up being a rubber thing that you'd put around your wrist with a number. But yeah, so I have a lot of memories.
That's utterly charming. A pin?
Yeah, it was like a giant safety pin, like a diaper pin, you know?
I love it.
That kind
of thing. I can see OSHA saying, oh, watch one of those popping open.
Yeah, that might not be according to regulations these days. Did you save that pin, Cindy?
Oh, no, we had to give it back. It was attached to the basket to identify your basket.
So. Are there some at the Historical Society? I would hope so. What a great
memory. That would
memory.
Be cool, wouldn't it?
Yeah, let's go find them. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So anyway, fast forward now to 2004, and the decision was made to close the pool. The Bigley indoor pool was open, and there was a lot of expensive repairs that needed to be done to the city outdoor pool, so they decided to close it, not realizing, I don't think, how many people would miss that outdoor pool. But anyway, the question, though, was then, what do you do with the bathhouse building? The pool's gone? What do we do with it? Is there any reason to keep it? And that went on for years. Years.
Can you give us a ballpark figure? Like, how many years is it?
Oh, we're talking about, it's 2020, did close in 2004.
Ah.
2022 was when the city said, that's it.
That's a
We've
long time.
We've got to decide
time.
Something, you
yeah.
know, either tear it down or do something with it. And what should we do with it? And I'm on the city council and also on part of the Historic Preservation Commission, HPC. And I said, let us see if we can figure something out. So they said, okay, we'll give you 3 months, as I recall, something. It was fall of 2022. So we talked to, first thing we did was say, we better talk to a preservation architect and find out if this building's even worth saving. You know, do we know what we're talking about, right? So we hired Mark Zettler. He inspected the building in October of 2022, and he reported, I quote, after analyzing the building on site, it is my professional opinion that this building is in a condition that warrants rehabilitation rather than removal. The walls are structurally robust and, if maintained, can last for many decades, possibly centuries, end of quote. And the robust walls he's referring to are, the outer walls are 16 inches thick. The inner walls are 12 inches thick. I had no idea. And that really inspired me when he said that it could last for centuries, because that's a gift to our descendants, you know. It'll long outlast us, which you'll never make a better investment in a building, as far as I know.
So, Cindy, and Mark Zettler is with an architecture firm, or is he an engineer?
He has his own firm.
An architect?
Yeah, he's a preservation architect.
What's the name of his name?
Zettler, I think.
Zettler,
I believe,
okay.
Yeah, he's in West Salem. He was in La Crosse. Now he's in West Salem.
Were there other firms that looked at it, or do you have more than one assessment of it?
Well, after Mark did it, then we had to... Well, we did a survey to see if they're, and you were involved in that, and Christina Dahlhausen, to see if people, what the feelings were at the present about what we should do with the building. And then after we got those survey results, we needed to get some cost estimates. And that's when we talked to another architect, Mike Adler of River Architects.
Right.
Yeah. But about the same time that the HPC said, you know, let us try to figure something out. And the city council said, okay, go ahead. We did the Mark Zettler. And then also, serendipitously, somebody named Arne Van Loo, who is a student at WTC in architectural technology, had, of all things, chosen our WPA bathhouse building as his capstone project. So now we had, and he had decided it should be turned into a four-season building, he had a center like a visitor information center. He had the public restrooms. He had the meeting space. It was like, oh my gosh, we've got it now on a computer with graphics and everything. So we went back to the city council and said, you know, this is what we got. And they said, they gave us the green light. They said that they would allocate $200,000 of TID 6 money towards the project. And there was already $38,000 that had been put aside, budgeted for, to do something with the bathhouse. We weren't sure what. So then we formed a task force. And Karen is on that. Aaron Aslan, who's sitting here quietly, because he's a newcomer to Viroqua.
Get used to it, Aaron.
Randy Skinner, Christina Dahlhausen, Gene Driscoll, Steve Willis, and Ariana Langdon. I think that brings us up to where task force got going.
Thank you so much for that. And I got to tell you, folks, the people sitting here are doing this almost entirely from their heads. If I could do that, I would do a lot more radio than I do. And I'm suggesting that you guys do a lot more radio than you do, okay? That was lovely. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I think it's time to describe in general and specific terms what the Viroqua Welcome Center will be. Somebody want to go with that?
I'd love to jump in here.
You go. That's the voice of Aaron Aslan.
The vision is emerging.
Yes.
It's been a real honor to be invited to be part of this project. Every time I hear the history, I learn something new. And part of coming to Viroqua is seeing how much this community rallies together to do amazing things and has a history of rallying together to do amazing things. And there's a lot of examples here. So being with Cindy and Karen and the task force has been really beautiful. The inspiring thing I've seen coming on is the vision that's been painted for me of what the task force sees the building can become. And that building is really inspiring to be a welcome center for Viroqua and we're the county seat for Vernon County. And we have a lot of tourism coming here and a very active and engaged base of people that live here. And yet there's nowhere that you could say is a welcome center where those people can come in and experience Viroqua at the start of their journey in here, where the community can come together and meet each other and learn about this rich, beautiful history that you just heard about, the history of the farming movement here, the regenerative agriculture movements, the deep history of work that has made this community great, and also where you would go to find out about the businesses that are here today and the trailheads that are here today and the wealth of resources that people seem to discover here today.
This is exactly the kind of thing that, again, I come from a family where when I grew up, we jumped in the station wagon with our sleeping bags every summer when mom and dad were not teaching during the summer, and we took off around the country. We'd say, where are we going to go? Where's the map? You know, we didn't have the GPS. We didn't have the phones to search the internet on anything. We might get a AAA guidebook, you know, or a triptych or something.
But did you get lost on
that? Oh, no. We had good maps. Oh. Any of us who wanted to sit in the front seat of the car had to be the navigator. So we learned to read maps. My dad said, okay, how many miles till the next stop? But we pinpoint destinations and immediately look for where's that place where we can find out as much as we can about where we are, where to camp, you know, because we know there were five kids in the family and all sleeping bags, and we weren't going to stay in a motel if we could find a good campground. Or we would we'd say, well, we need a grocery store to do picnic meals, but maybe we can find a little cafe that's something. So that was our destination usually. It was our landing spot on the new planet, so to speak, wherever we went. And so having that, we'd open the doors to a place. Sometimes it was in an old fort. Sometimes it was in an old church. Sometimes it was on Main Street. Sometimes it was on a round corner with a big arrow, like a finger pointing visitor center, you know, to the next block. Yeah. So we always kind of enjoyed finding that place that could tell us as much. And there was usually somebody there with a smile saying, oh, you should go here. I can take you there. Yeah. Two blocks down. So that was a lovely memory for me. And I thought, we need to provide that. We have that kind of community where people want to be there.
Yeah, for people to be there and answer questions or know you're getting reliable, up-to-date information. You don't know that necessarily when you go online. That website could be old. It could be very inaccurate. That's one of the beauties of being able to just talk to somebody one-on-one or get that information right there. Yeah. And then,
I mean, hotels have concierge searches for a reason. People want the inside scoop of, you know, you're the insider here, you live here, where do you go? What should I do here?
It's fun to meet the locals. What are they like around here, right? And they like to meet us, right, when you go places.
That's right. Yeah, I had the experience of going down to Decorah, our neighbor to the south, and they have a beautiful welcome center. And I was speaking to the lady who was at the front desk. It was in the middle of the winter, so it's not busy, but there was multiple people coming in and out when I was there. And I asked her, you know, just the age of the internet, how busy is this building? Is this more for an office space? Are you really getting people coming through? And she said they can't keep the pamphlets on the shelf in the summertime. It is nonstop traffic as people come through. And they're looking for the same thing that Karen just so beautifully talked about. You know, even with their smartphones in their pocket, they're still looking to come into a space to see what the town and the county and the region is all about. And they love looking at the map on the wall, and they love looking at the pamphlet and being like, oh, this would be a neat place to go. And then they pick it up, and then they can leave with something physical, something more important to them. And so that vision of creating that space here feels really important. Feels really important for Vernon County, for the Driftless region, and for Viroqua, as a space for us to really connect. I want to say one more point here, which is there's a fun part about this vision that that just cracks me up. And when the task force researched the community, well, what do you want here? Like, what is it? Like, what are the things? And so, you know, definitely a community room, welcome center, trailhead came to the top. But the other one was a bathroom.
Public restrooms downtown.
I was
Amen,
just going to say.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yes. It was always, Mom, go on in, use the restroom now.
Exactly.
And fill your water bottle. That's it.
The library has a beautiful public restroom, you know, right next door. But in the busy summer when the farmer's market's going on and, you know, they're relying on porta potties, you know, this is such a becomes such an obvious and nice space for people that are coming through town, whether at the garden or at the farmer's market or on a bike trail, that they can just dive in and use the bathroom. So as much as that sounds fun, that's a big part of this as well.
Great service.
I'm so glad you began talking about it, and I'd like to go even further with it. I have a neighbor who shall remain nameless who has talked to me about this and is fond of saying, isn't all of this available online? You know, can't people find out about Viroqua? Now, you guys just started to talk about that. I know my response is, it's not online where I decide to go someplace. I think Santa Fe, I want to go there. I don't have to. The important thing is to be there. So, okay, now I'm here. At least that's what I told him. What would you tell him?
I think you're totally right. I think there's an interesting thing if we just put ourselves in the minds of a traveler. And of course, most of us are finding out about places around the world, the country, and the region online, and they come up all over the place on social media, on websites. And it's a great place to just learn about the journey. But once you're there, it's very different. So the role of a visitor center or welcome center is to meet the people once they've arrived. And so for those people finding out about Viroqua online, many, many people do, and they come for many reasons, then they're like, okay, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Now what?
But what if you have a question that's not on the pamphlet or it's not on the internet? Mm-hmm. You know, you need to talk to somebody.
Well, that's a useful information for just me as a local resident, is like, where do we gather all this cool stuff about our community? Where do we showcase what's available to us? Not just, I mean, say we have family coming to visit, you know, we have to research the same thing. We have to, you know, be given an opportunity to discover our own community right here. And that would be a lovely place to say, I want to go find out more about what's going on here. They have information about, you know, fishing. I've never gone fishing. I want to take my family, or I want to hike and have never done the trails yet. Or if there are people who live here who really don't know their own community, of, you know, there's a lot that I don't know about the community. I'm not a native, of course. 33 years.
That's right. But 50, we'll talk.
Maybe. I love the place, and my family comes up, members of my family come from three different directions every year, you know, from Oregon, from Nashville, from Boston area, from Denver. They love coming here. This is their destination because they have free lodging with me, but not for long. I mean, they're outgrowing my house.
Karen, let me ask you, you know, when we have the center, can we give your place out as a place to stay?
Oh, I'm getting ready for that.
Okay.
But
there's one other, I think, really interesting point here. So we've talked a lot about the tourism aspect, which is a really important aspect of this project. And there's also another aspect that's going to be really exciting as well. And that is the Viroqua Chamber is committed to pursuing becoming the anchor tenant in this project.
The anchor tenant, what does that mean, anchor tenant?
The Viroqua Chamber is committed to pursuing using this space as an office and helping provide their role to the community, which is a very important role in part of tourism promotion that we just described, that they do a great job with in tandem with the Tourism Commission. But also economic development for their member businesses, and it creates a great opportunity for them to host their member businesses.
Mm-hmm. Showcase them, yeah.
Right.
For instance, allowing additional meeting space to hold classes or conduct additional business in a beautiful location, which is a great value add for those member businesses. And it also allows them to better promote those member businesses by allowing their promotional materials and directions and wayfinding signage to be made more available. And so the chamber, you know, being able to do that from a beautiful location that's very easily accessible to the public is a big value add to the community and to the businesses here locally. And that's a big deal. And so that's another really important part of the vision of this project that we're excited that the Viroqua Chamber is aligned to continuing to pursue with us.
Yes, we are.
That's great.
I wanted to mention a little more about trails. You mentioned the trailhead. We're in the center of the county, and we know over 50 miles of multi-use trails in this county, and yet most, even the local people, we don't know where they are. Some of them we know where some of them are, but not all of them. So this would be a place where you can come, and this is where the trails are that we know of. This is where you can go. You could do a QR code, or you could actually look at the map, take a map. I think that's important. Mm-hmm. Is a bike repair station, a small one out front where you could pump tires, maybe even repair a flat, I don't know, because mm-hmm. Pete Taylor's all for providing another place for people to pump their tires because they're plenty busy over there in the summer.
And bike racks and filling your water bottle.
That's right, fill a water bottle. Yep.
I like the, right now we have a kiosk out front that we've been putting information in as things develop, and that, of course, would still be part of, you know, the exterior access to information where people could scan QR codes for major information when the office isn't open. But I think it's the opportunities are endless, really, to participate in this. And I would love to see it become a place where organizations who would like to showcase what they do volunteer as docents to welcome visitors, say, hey, we'll take a week, or we'll bring folks in, have some docent training, you know, teach people how to share the basics and then showcase their own organization or their own business or their own, you know, expertise in the community. That's what makes it really real to visitors and really an opportunity for us local folks to share what we have and who we are.
It's so beautiful, Karen, because I think, like, you're painting that picture, and it's something that if we just imagine when it's here, I really feel strongly to be a place we couldn't imagine living without. It'll be so valuable to the community.
It'd be like Hotel Fortney. It's like, of course someone fixed that up, of course. That it was close to getting torn down.
That came pretty close,
too.
So.
And
that's
the
a
theater,
great example. We'll get into a bunch of those marvelous projects later. I think right now, since I've forced you people to go straight for a half an hour, we'll take a short break. And you out there, dear heart, thank you so much for tuning in today. Don't go away, because we'll be right back. We're back. Thanks for joining us today. We really appreciate the fact that you tune in and listen. Cindy Hubbard is here, Karen Innes is here, and Aaron Aslan is here, and we're talking about the Viroqua Welcome Center.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. Hey, you know what? We haven't even given folks contact info yet. Let's do that and then get on with the second half of our conversation.
It's really easy for those that are interested in following along. We'd love to see you join us online. Facebook and Instagram are both at Viroqua Welcome Center. And you can find our website at viroquabathhousewelcomecenter.org. And if you pop any of that into Google, you will find us as well.
Would you do that one more time, the website in particular? Some people actually write these things down.
It is
take a second.
Absolutely, it's a long one, so get your pens ready. It's www.viroquabathhousewelcomecenter.org.
That's with bathhouse with two H's. That's
not two T's. Yeah,
BATHHOUSE, all one word.
I just had a delicious thought that years from now there will be a lovely acronym for that long name, and people will just say the blah blah, and everybody will know you're talking about the Welcome Center. That'll be nice.
It'll evolve
Hey, you guys covered my goodness, maps, trailheads, welcoming telephones, workers, volunteer, and the building. That's a lot. How does all of that get done?
Anybody? It is a lot. I'm Aaron Aslan. I'd love to start, and I'd love to also hear Karen and Cindy come in as they see and feel they'd like to. Now, I'm really excited about this project because we have a really achievable plan to make it happen. And part of the vision has a real defined and clear commitment so far. So the plan to make it happen has sources of funds coming from three different places in a really balanced way. And then the uses of funds are to convert a three-season building into a four-season building that can last, as Cindy mentioned, for centuries. And so the plan was created through some renovation architect firm, as well as some other firms providing some cost estimates of what it would really take to do the work. The lowest cost was dropped, the highest costs were kept. The total budget to do all of the work to get it ready to go with a key in hand that anybody could walk inside and immediately start doing business is a total of $730,000.
Could I correct one thing? You said a renovation architect, and it was a preservation architect.
Thank you.
Probably important distinction.
Very important.
Zettler,
And so the $730,000 budget would be an all-in turnkey cost to get the building ready to go for the next couple centuries. And so that also includes, on the construction side of it, which is in the budget about $500,000, includes a 20% contingency on that construction cost, which we feel is really a good, safe bet. I feel really confident we're not going to overshoot that mark.
How much is that, did you say?
It's a 20% contingency.
Yeah, what dollar amount?
It's a $100,000 contingency.
Yeah, see, that's a lot of contingency, yeah.
On the construction cost, which is the biggest cost in the project. And so, $500,000 to really do most of the construction work, 20% contingency gets us to that $730,000 all in. So where those funds are coming from is also equally as important, and we've broken them out in three places. The first and really critical is from the community, and it's important for many reasons, in part because it really shows how much energy and support there is in this community for making this project happen. And so we have a budget of $242,000 that we're seeking to fundraise from the community to make this happen. And really excited of the progress we've made, which I'll touch on here in a minute. So when we reach that goal of $242,000, which we feel really good about achieving here by the summer of 2024, that would allow us to get and apply for a matching grant from the Community Development Investment Grant from the state of Wisconsin of $250,000. And if applied for and achieved, that would also open up the City of Viroqua allocation that Cindy talked about at the head of the program of $238,000. So when you add up all of those together, you get our total of $730,000. We are starting with that community portion, and we are feeling really grateful, very excited about the responses we've gotten. Sitting here today, we've raised so far in pledges and donations $162,000, or 67% of that goal.
Thank you, everyone.
And we have $79,000 remaining, which feels very within the reaches of the work we're doing. And what's even given us more confidence is most of the fundraising communications are really just starting. There's been a huge community swell of events and people for the last year. But we're really kicking the fundraising to high gear now as we go into the summertime to finish off. So we feel really confident in being able to get to that community contribution.
It'd be really nice to have it by June so we could apply for the CDI grant July 1st, because that goes from July 1st to June 30th. So
that's right. And so for those that are real interested in getting involved in this project, remember our website, VroquaBathhouseWelcomeCenter.org is the place to learn more all about this project.
And I'll repeat that so somebody can write it down. Viroqua Bathhouse, VATHHOUSE, WelcomeCenter.org.
So that's our that's how we plan to get it done from a, I'd say, a nuts and bolts planning purpose and funding purpose, which, you know, is a real practical, clear budget that we feel really confident in being able to achieve. And when we think about it in the time span that we're talking about, you know, $730,000 for a building that can last for another century or more feels like a really good investment.
It's the best investment you'll ever make in a building. It really is, you know?
Absolutely, yeah, here
most year, new buildings now, they give them 40 to 50 years. That's what they say for the public.
Well, they don't have 16-inch limestone blocks holding them
right.
up.
Right, hand-cut. No
hand-cut.
And just the aesthetic of the building. You got to. Sure. It's not just it's not a big bruiser of a building. It's elegant. It's got that classic archway look. I mean, as an artist, you know, I love it.
So. I love that too, Cindy. Mm-hmm. I want to just build on that. I think a lot of people can approach this in two ways, and one of the things that you can't buy is the beauty of the way things used to be made, and the care and attention and artistic quality and handmade quality that has really gone into shape this building. And so, you know, that's timeless. And so being able to preserve that is just a really beautiful part of the investment as well.
Yeah.
I know I happen to live all of, I don't know, 2.5 blocks away from the bathhouse. And it's part of one of my regular walks. And it is a treat. I'm a student of history. I love going back. And if I can go back physically to a place and a time, it puts you in a different headset. It's what you said about construction. This is different. This is the old days. This is preservation.
They
this
built
is,
things to last.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It works so far.
Yes, that's right. That building has taken a lot of abuse and it's still standing. Tell you why.
You know how many of you little brats ran through there and did.
You know, and I love the invitation you just made. I hope for folks that are able to in this area, you know, just go stand next to the building. If you haven't been there in a while, just take a walk next to it. It's grand and it's beautiful. And just touch the stone and just go connect back with it. It's connecting back with history. So,
did you say the Facebook page? Not to change this, kind of changing the subject, but not exactly. Mm-hmm. If they just do Viroqua Welcome Center, that's the Facebook.
That's right. Yep.
And then that would have a link to the website if they're having trouble writing down all that long URL.
That's right. Yep.
And the Instagram too is Viroqua Welcome Center. So.
We're enthusiastic, but not always streamlined here.
That's, right.
That's okay.
Not always.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah. It still sounds like a lot to do to me. Oh, you know what I wanted to ask you? I don't even know if we've touched on this yet. Let's say in the best of all worlds, how long does it take? Let's say you got the money. Somebody says, let's go, or a lot of somebodies say, let's go. You got an idea about?
I think Aaron can answer that.
Okay.
Yeah, we do have an idea. I mean, we want it as soon as possible, but our real timeline here is getting the funding from the community fully completed here by June 2024, really this summertime, so we can apply for the Community Development Investment Grant from the state of Wisconsin. And we're either going to apply for this year's version or the next fiscal year's version, just depending on when that final goal is achieved. And so with both of those done and the city allocation complete, if that happens this year, we feel really confident that we could see all of the pieces starting to come together and construction to start working on the building by the beginning quarters of next year, 2025.
25, okay.
With a real opportunity to open the doors in 2025, if not the summer, really at the earliest pace that we would hope to see.
Man, wouldn't that be great? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fun to think about.
Celebration.
Yeah.
Come on.
Cindy, you get a band together. I'll sell the tickets.
Where's Mickey Rooney?
Yeah. Oh,
oops,
my goodness.
I'm aging myself.
No, Mickey, who? He was in the Monkees, wasn't he? Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is just one of so many things we've done in Viroqua since I've moved here. What I noticed immediately is that there were so many opportunities to participate in making the community better. There were lots of volunteers. So many people who would willingly say, well, I don't know how to do it, but tell me what to do and I'll help. And I've seen this over and over. We've all seen this over and over again. There's a whole list here. I mean, jump in, you guys. But, I mean, I was involved early on with restoring the Temple Theater when it was a bricks and mortar.
Let me jump in for a second because I'm only here 11 years or something. No, it's more than that already. But anyway.
A newbie.
I'm a kid. I'm a newbie. Yeah. I would love, as we go through this list, for you folks to sort of take us what it was like before we restored it and it's like now. Because a lot of people don't have that.
Oh my goodness.
It's a heck of a lot of work.
Oh, gosh.
So you want to start with the historic Temple
Theater.
The
historic Temple Theater. I remember being part of a small group who were banging heads on the table and agonizing about the water in the orchestra pit.
No, what? It was flooded?
It was standing water in the orchestra pit, which is gone now.
The roof was leaking. And I went to the last movie that was shown there before it closed down, Sister Act.
Oh,
everything, you're kidding.
Inside, all of those beautiful light fixtures that are now glowing were painted black. Every other seat was wobbly, and you could, you know, and as you walked down the aisles, your feet stuck to the floor.
The gum, the spilled pop,
everything like that. But, yes.
The big curtain in the back was painted gray, as I recall. Mm. I don't even know.
But it was a movie house, and that was it. And then it closed down for a long period of time. But it was wonderful that I know Dr. Starr was involved. And
Fred Nelson,
B. Small. And the group was, it was just, let's save the building was the very first goal. Mm-hmm. It was, and once it was restored, it became the restored Temple Theater rather than Associates to Restore.
ARTT, right?
Right. These kinds of projects can evolve, you know. First, don't let it go away.
Go away in the nicest way. Go
it
away.
It becomes an amazing community asset.
I got to tell you, I spent 30-some years in Chicago through the incredibly busy days where Chicago destroyed everything that was architecturally significant. Mm. We built a lot of parking lots, really, really nice parking lots, 6, 7, 12-story parking lots.
Oh, beautiful. Yes.
In the place of some Wright buildings and some Louis Sullivan buildings.
Oh,
and
no.
Some, you know, it was nuts. No. It was nuts. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's a scarred place that I come from. So to listen to folks talk about, hey, you know what? This is beautiful.
Yeah, let's not miss this. Let's not destroy what we have to offer each other and people who visit. The Temple Theater is a true gem that, thousands and thousands of hours and hundreds of local volunteers put lots of blood, sweat, and tears into that building. And it's a treasure that, you know, we need to rally around what we have
treasures.
Here. It's great.
Yeah. I'm not mistaken, it just celebrated its century mark, didn't it? The historic Temple Theater.
Was
that
1922?
Yeah.
22.
Yeah. 102, going strong.
I was just thinking we should mention the Men's and the Arnavites. There's a lot of, so many people, so I hate to.
Hundreds of people.
I hate to leave out people that did so much work in that Temple Theater.
Lots of people.
Yeah, yeah.
As a new person in town, you're laughing about 33 years. I've been here 5 years, so still a very newbie. And I look at the temple as just such a defining aspect of this community that I'm benefiting from and really look forward for my children to benefit from. And I go and rally there with my friends and I'm seeing the shows that are there. And so it's interesting to think about, like, if it just wasn't here, where would you go for those shows? And what would Viroqua be without it? I couldn't imagine Viroqua without it. It's such an important part of this community.
We were there the evening they were showing It's a Wonderful Life
during
holiday time.
Yeah.
And it was a good crowd, enthusiastic. Of course, everybody had seen it 27 times. And at the end of it, a big sign comes on the screen, and it's a marriage proposal from somebody and somebody else who were sitting in the theater, and their families went up for grabs, and I'm thinking, this is totally cool. This is
wow. Very good.
I'm sitting here with my neighbors in a restored, it was delicious.
Let's
hope we have a few of those in the bathhouse, shall we? Oh, great spot for a wedding.
A little party.
Yes.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
No, you go.
I was just going to say, you're talking about the space of the size. It'll be small, the community space in the bathhouse, but it'd be good for book clubs and little group meetings and little birthday parties. But there's also
classes.
A terrace off the south end.
There sure is.
So your party in the nice weather can go out there.
That's where the polka band strikes it.
Of course.
There you go.
Hey, I'm looking at this crazy good list. This insane little town of 4,300 something people built a hockey arena at one point, didn't it? Folks could play hockey. How did that happen?
I don't know much about. I wasn't back yet then because I was gone for 30 years.
That's right.
Well, you
I
know
forgot
how
about
power,
your
how powerfully you know motivated and active the community sport. Mm-hmm. Families are
big time, and
that there's the hockey community, there's the soccer community, Driftless United, and there are lots of real amazing initiatives by parents and kids and community members to make things happen. That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Make things happen, and it happens by people saying, "I care about seeing this become part of our community." They make it happen, and if they need a building, sometimes it happens, you know, like the hockey arena came about through that kind of effort.
I look at this list, and I think, well, of course not everybody cares about everything as passionately as they do about, let's say, hockey or football.
This represents a bathhouse. Yeah.
But once you find your crew, once you get your people going, anything. You could do anything. We got a new library.
Right.
That's...
Well, you know, there is some things will cover more bases than others,
sure.
But there's no reason to say we can't do this because everybody doesn't want it.
Yeah.
We say, let's do as many things as we can.
You got to turn that on its head. Yeah, Aaron.
Right.
I come from the West Coast, Portland, Oregon, and Los Angeles, and those communities are beautiful in their own right. And one of the defining characteristics of those communities that really did not appeal to me was a lot of complaining about things that couldn't be done. Mm-hmm. And what I ended up seeing was that no one was really working together to try to make them happen. And it was really challenging legally to even do anything in the community. And so when we moved here, I just was overcome by the defining hallmark of Viroqua, but also the communities here in the Driftless that actually are rallying together, and everybody is showing up to do something. So when people are saying, look, we need a new hockey arena, they don't just point to each other and go, oh, those people over there aren't building it for me. They come together to make it happen. And, you know, hey, our library is not a great building, and we want a new library for the betterment of our community. And so instead of just complaining until somebody else fixes the problem, they work across all the aisles and across all of their neighbors and rally together to make these things happen. And that defining characteristic of this community, to me, is just such a reason why it's vibrant. It's part of what makes it special, part of what makes it resilient, mm-hmm. part of what makes it worth even coming to in the first place. And so, you know, seeing that happen and that community ethic come together is part of the reason that this restoration and repurposing project for the bathhouse, to me, is just part of who we are in Viroqua, and part of what Viroqua comes together to do.
It's not the final project that will emerge it by any means, but it is definitely an incredibly worthy one that is going to serve a lot of people, both here and who are coming here, who are visiting here.
Our old library did not get torn down.
Indeed
either.
Not.
Yes,
which is
great.
Yes,
there's a bunch of circus people in there.
It's wonderful.
That was a Carnegie library, so I was so glad that did not get torn down. If you can see the fireplace is just hanging up there where the second floor used to be. Yeah.
And I understand those projects, you know, were hard in their own right, and I understand there was a lot of conversations about You know, do we need it? Should we have it?
Oh, yeah. Libraries are a thing of the past was another comment made.
Well, that's all online, right?
That's right.
There's
that's
a little
right.
joke here, a little online joke.
And look what our library does. Mm. Oh, my gosh.
Library of the Year.
In 2023, I guess it was, or 22.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yes.
Wisconsin Library of the Year in 2022, I believe. Right?
Yeah, that's right. And the team over there does such a great job.
Congratulations, cool. you guys.
But just that ability to even, like, when they're in the middle of the projects, you know, Verroco doesn't give up when it gets hard. Verroco really pulls together when it gets hard, and mm-hmm. and in this day and age, that's rare, that's special, and that's a real beautiful quality of this community. And it's a real honor to witness that happening again here as the community is coming together for this project to pull it off and make it happen.
Let's take a couple of minutes and look at the rest of this list here. We had talked about diverse interests, and as somebody from you guys goes down this list, I just keep thinking how many different groups of people these projects bring together.
It's true.
Yeah, you're talking about you know, the arts here represented with the rallying for the Temple Feeder, to the sports being represented with the hockey arena, and bikers with Vernon Trails, and the disc golf course, the world-class disc golf course being built out at the VFW. And even the VFW being an amazing example of the community rallying together with dance parties to
Indeed.
Put on a new roof and, you know, make it a community hall that folks of all different backgrounds come together to enjoy. To the park that is right down the street, Dragon Park, and that playground that, you know, the city's about to embark on repurposing in their own right. And the community came together to build that originally, that beautiful, beautiful Dragon Park that I've taken my my kids to. And so you're right. There's a broad spectrum of people, from families to individuals, young and old, that have come together for all of these types of different projects.
It's still going to be the park. I mean, you made it solid. Repurposing, they're just going to redo it.
Doll it up a little, right?
Yeah. Doll it up a little bit, yeah.
Okay. In case anyone's worried.
Going to dress the dragon?
It's not going away. Yeah.
Well, but, you know, beyond what's happening right here immediately as, you know, bricks and mortar kinds of, there are people who are out there grooming the streams and the trails and doing the things that make this a destination for so many people coming to the community who say, this is my destination for vacation. This is where I want to retire. This is where I want to bring my family to live. Those are the kinds of quality of life contributions that people in the community are making constantly.
Yes,
that just makes me burst at the seams when I'm talking about the place. People say, what's so great about this little bitty town in Wisconsin somewhere where it gets really super cold once, you know, most of the
supposed
year.
Supposed to, yeah. Yeah.
I was told by friends in California when I was telling them I'm moving here, they said, oh my gosh, why do you want to move there? 6 months a year, it's winter. And I said, don't worry, global warming will make it a resort.
Yeah.
And I said, oh no, shut up.
nice touch.
That was 33 years
ago. You
should
have knocked on wood, Karen.
I know. I was joking. I said, it's just weather. Put on a coat. People here are resilient. I see more folks walking around in shorts in winter than I've ever seen.
I remember in my days at the co-op where I got to meet so many people, I had a gentleman who was in his waiter's, in his fishing gear, and he told me he came from Montana to trout fish here.
Wow.
And I was still relatively new. I said, you came from Montana? Which is spelled trout?
Yes.
He says, oh, yeah, this is the greatest fishing I ever do. I thought, oh, boy, I think I want to live here.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So you're right, Karen. There's so much in the bigger picture that supports this smaller picture that supports that bigger picture back again. It's just a beautiful serendipity, I think, is the word. Yeah.
Well, I'm just amazed by the generosity of people in this area sharing the things that they're good at, that they're wise about, the things that they care about. There's so much contribution going on in this community all the time.
We're sitting in a incredible.
This is one of those
community
things that was created
radio stations
by the local.
Created by people who had the ideas out of, believe me, thin air.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. we're sitting in. A great example of that. Thanks for reminding me.
Well, it's wonderful to be part of that kind of energy.
Yeah.
And to keep it moving. Come on.
Hey, before we take off, because believe it or not, we have used up almost an entire hour.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Let's do that contact information again. Would you please?
Sure. I'll say the website is Viroqua Bathhouse, BATHHOUSE, welcomecenter.org.
I just wanted to say the project is a win-win-win. It is a win because we are commemorating the past and all the memories and the building itself. It's a win for the present because it's filling needs that we have now that we've been talking about. And it's a win for the future because it's a gift to our descendants, a building that's going to last for centuries. I just think that's exciting.
I agree.
Well, there you have it, folks. Everything or almost everything you'll ever need to know about the proposed Viroqua Welcome Center. If you want more information, if you want to help, we've given you that contact information several times. Make use of it if you're in the mood. In the meantime, many, many thanks. You guys are great. Thanks to Aaron Aslan, Karen Innes, and Cindy Hubbard.
You're welcome.
Our pleasure.
Thanks for having us.
It's a real joy. Thank you.
And thanks to you, dear heart, for tuning in. We do so appreciate your attention. You take good care.
No show place, just an empty space. Not much to look at now. Just a big old box made out of limestone blocks, but we could fix it up somehow. 'Cause it's built like a tank out of solid rock, and it ain't ever going away. But where did it come from? Why is it here? Gotta thank the WPA. Well, Harry loved his job in the city. They weren't rich, but they were doing fine. Until millions of guys like Harry felt the crash of 29. A loaf of bread only cost a dime, but no one had a dime to spare. So Harry signed up for a government job in the middle of nowhere. Well, it was brute force work hauling limestone blocks. They didn't need his college degree. He sweat all day in the burning sun for 10 lousy bucks a week. But he worked like the man that Harry was, and he slept like a rock when he laid down. 'Cause they weren't building no bank for the rich, just a swimming pool for the town. And still they stand them quarry stones, oh, the place stands empty today. Every one of them blocks is history. Don't let them slip away. Because there's wisdom in the bones of the buildings those good folks built to last. How are we gonna save the future if we don't save the past? Well, for 8 years, 8 million hardworking folks traveled all over this land. They build every kind of thing you can imagine, monuments to the common man. They built schools and roads and swimming pools. They made sunshine out of rain. And our hearts still live in our own backyard if we don't let them slip away. Because still they stand them quarry stones, oh, the place is empty today. Every one of them blocks is history.